So why do we see this opposition to compulsory vaccination policies, considering the research into health benefits?
I mean, the opposition basically has to do with the deep respect that we have for people's autonomy and their rights to control their bodily integrity.
Given the NRL already has wellness policies such as drug testing and the like, how is this flu shot different?
I think in a fundamental sense, it's probably not hugely different. It's just that it's an area where people are more concerned about, I mean, rightly or wrongly.
So why does this raise these issues you mentioned there of personal autonomy?
Well, because we've conceptualized ethics in a way that people have a control of themselves and their body and what goes into it. And so we're quite reluctant to force people to put things into their body without their consent.
And in this particular case here, it seems like we are, you know, coming into a crossover, I suppose you might say, between the control the government has over an individual and the control a business has over an individual, given the, you know, these policies are coming to us through the Queensland government, but affecting this specific area of the NRL. Would that be fair to say this sort of confluence does complicate things?
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting tension. In a way, I think we should be more suspicious about compulsory things at a governmental level than at a business level. But you can see how they kind of come in and interplay with each other.
And yet it would be probably fair to say that although we might be more concerned about what the government can do for us, usually when it comes to government policies, these eventually reach sort of a wide acceptance, while we do sort of concern ourselves greatly with a private body telling us what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, partially the difference is to do with the difference of scope. What the government says affects us all. What a private body says affects a small group of us.
What would you say to, you know, this one in terms of comparing it, I guess, to current policies we already see from the governments around vaccinations? I mean, does this really, apart from the fact it only affects a small group of people, does it really seem any more autocratic than the kind of policies already in place?
That's a great question. Look, my feeling on it is it's slightly different in kind, insofar as that the impacts on those individuals are, I think, more significant and more severe. But is it different in tone? No, probably not really. Does that say good things about those policies that are already in place? That depends very much on your position on that, really.
Do you think we would see other businesses, more businesses, adopting similar policies?
Personally, I would hope not. Now, that's not because I don't think that getting the flu jab is the sensible thing to do in this situation. There's good public health reasons to do so. There's good reasons to think that it's good for your own health to do so. But I think it's the kind of thin edge of a wedge that's quite unpleasant, the idea that your business can control what goes into your body or not.
Now, there's been obviously a great deal of debate around vaccinations, you know, for good and bad, I suppose, in recent years. I think this one's coming more and more to a head. Would it be fair to say, though, that COVID-19 has really kind of opened a lot more people in terms of awareness to the debates around compulsory vaccinations than they were previously? We had these, you might call them special interest groups that were very concerned around vaccinations. But now that we are talking about the potential for compulsory vaccinations for everybody once one is created for COVID-19, this is becoming a much larger sort of debate.
It is becoming a larger debate. To be honest, I think that it's jumping the gun, though, as a debate. So if you look at compulsion in the context of medical practice, the only times we typically think that compulsion is an acceptable part of medical practice is when it's really necessary to prevent immediate and current and severe harms. So if you talk about a compulsory COVID-19 vaccine, to be honest, I just don't see the likely necessity for that, because the vast majority of people are going to want to have the vaccine as soon as they can. I certainly know I would. Given that, you're likely to achieve herd immunity without going down the path of compulsory practice.
And yet, so
it seems to me like it's very likely to kind of fall on the very first bar of, is this needed?
Well, in saying that, though, we have seen concerns around herd immunity raised in recent years as anti-vaccination movements gain more and more traction. I mean, obviously, herd immunity is terrific for a lot of kids when it was existing, and yet we have seen that chipped away in recent years.
Sure, absolutely. But keep in mind that even if you don't achieve herd immunity, you do achieve a significant reduction in the burden of disease through vaccination. So if you vaccinate those who are vulnerable where you can, that reduces the amount of illness and the severity of the illness. It's also the case that at least at the moment, the estimates to achieve herd immunity for COVID-19 seem to be sitting in the 60 to 70% of the population kind of mark. That's much more achievable than the other kinds of illnesses that we're talking about, where you need to reach 95% coverage before you're going to achieve herd immunity.
And look, as you say, in all fairness, you may well be right. We are jumping the gun a little bit on this debate. But if the government, we develop a vaccine, we see a vaccine developed, and the government is insistent on making sure enough of us take it, are we going to see the carrot or the stick approach, do you think, in the way that that this policy will come across?
Great question. And I should say, I don't think we're jumping the gun in terms of having the debate. It's important to have these debates before it becomes a central matter of policy or not, because partially that allows us to think about it and for people to put their views across. Are we going to see a carrot or a stick? I would be very surprised if we don't see both. I mean, that's very standard in public health measures, that you will see both a carrot and a stick of some kind. Whether the stick has teeth in it or not, that's another question.
Well, David, I do appreciate you. Like you say, we're going to have these debates. Do appreciate you joining us and unpacking this one for us a little bit this morning.
No problem. Happy to help out.